The following is a recording from the sermon files of the Beacon Church of Christ. To God be the glory always. First sermon of 2019. I'm always excited to preach the first sermon of the year, and today is no exception. We're going to be looking at Numbers chapter 13. This morning, Numbers chapter 13, for those that would hopefully follow along in your Bibles. Last week, we talked about how we can continue to keep the momentum going from 2018, going into 2019. So much that we can get over the hump, so to speak. We can take the things that we have done in 2018, the initiative, the good works, the work with the radio station, the work with having Bible studies with people. We can take these things and we can improve upon them and increase them in 2019 so that we can get over the hump. We can begin to grow, not only spiritually, not only in knowledge, not only in love, but also in number. And I believe that we can do that in 2019. I believe it's possible, and I believe that it will happen if we work hard to achieve those goals with the Lord's blessings to follow. For the first sermon of 2019, I want us to think about the challenges and the obstacles that Satan is going to try to throw in our way to keep us from achieving our goals. Because you better believe it, Satan is going to try to do what he can to accomplish this. The last thing that Satan wants is for us to share the pure, unadulterated gospel of Christ with the people of this community. He wants to keep it contained. He wants to keep a muzzle on it. He doesn't want us having Bible studies with people. He doesn't want us having a radio station that is using the radio waves to propagate the gospel of Christ, the unadulterated gospel of Christ. The gospel that is different and is true compared to these false gospels that are so readily available today. And so it is our job then to make sure that that doesn't happen. To make sure that Satan does not muzzle the truth in this area. In Numbers chapter 13, we find perhaps the defining moment of Israel's early history post-Egypt. Numbers chapter 13, the Lord had set them up for success over and over again. He had brought the plagues upon Egypt. He had parted the Red Sea. He had given them water and quail and manna in the wilderness to sustain them as they traveled. He had given them military victory. He had given them the law, which Deuteronomy 10:13 says was for their own good. He had given them the priesthood and the tabernacle and the Ark of the Covenant. And so God's people were set up for success. Everything that they needed, God had provided for them. And then we find in Numbers chapter 13 that they didn't trust God's provision. In spite of everything that God had given them, the people began to doubt. Numbers chapter 13, of course, is the chapter that describes the 12 spies who went into the land of Canaan. 10 of those spies did not believe that the Lord would give the Canaanites into their hand, in spite of what God had done for them. Joshua and Caleb, however, did believe the Lord. They believed that the Lord would bless them in their efforts and in conquering this land of Canaan, but unfortunately Joshua and Caleb were outnumbered and outvoted. And the other 10 influenced the people of Israel to not have faith in God, and then we have this terrible situation of the wilderness wandering. I bring all of this up this morning to ask ourselves this. Is 2019 a defining moment for this congregation? Is 2019 a defining year for this congregation? Is it? Is it decision time? Is it the time where we must decide whether or not we're going to keep the momentum going and continue to grow in love, in knowledge, in spirit, in truth, and in turn, we take what we are doing and we take the gospel to those around us, and we also grow in number, Lord willing, if God gives the increase? Is 2019 the year that that takes place? I believe that it can be and it will be if we do what God has asked us to do and the Lord's blessings follow in having done so. I believe that the Lord has set us up for great success. You think about the things that this congregation is doing. You think about the truth that we have long stood for. You think about our elders who are leading this congregation. You think about every member. We've talked over and over again about how every member of a congregation is important. And that is certainly true when it comes to this congregation. We think about that, and we think about the potential for growth. And we realize that God has set us up for success, but we have to capitalize on it. God expects us to do something with what He has given us. We can't just ride on the coattails of those who have gone on to their reward, who were faithful before us. We must be faithful for ourselves. We have to be workers for the Lord ourselves. Here am I, send me, Isaiah said. This is the mindset that we need to have if we want to grow, if we want to get those Bible studies that I mentioned last Sunday, if we want to influence our friends and our co-workers and our families for Christ, then we need to have the mindset of Isaiah. Here am I, send me, Lord, because I want to influence those that I love for the cause of Christ. The Israelites were set up for great success. They were knocking at the door. The Canaanites were in their cities, and the Israelites were upon them, and God was ready to give it into their hand. But then they began to doubt themselves. They began to doubt the very God who had the power to set them free from Egypt, to part the Red Sea so that they could escape from those Egyptians that were pursuing them, and then swallow that Egyptian army back up in the sea. They doubted the one who had given them this ability, and they paid the price. They caved in to majority rule. In this case, a majority of people who did not have faith in God and the blessings that He would have given them if they would have just lived like God wanted them to live. And they paid the price with 40 years of wandering. Turn to Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13, I first want us to look at verses 1 through 3. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, send thou men, that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them. And Moses, by the commandment of the Lord, sent them from the wilderness of Paran. All those men were heads of the children of Israel. I want you to notice that God commands the rulers. God commands the heads of the tribes, the families, the ones who were in leadership positions among the Israelites. He says, you need to take these people and you need to go and spy out the land. Now, why was God doing that? I believe that He was testing their faith. I believe that He was testing the faith of the leaders of the Israelites, because sadly, these Israelites, and specifically these leaders of the Israelites, 10 of them at least, were not living as faithfully as they ought to. This is evidenced by the fact that when they did give this report, it was not the good report that they should have given. Verses 4 through 16, we find the names of these men given. Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, is mentioned in verse 6. Of course, Caleb being one of the faithful spies. The other being Hoshea, the son of Nun, mentioned in verse 8. Of course, Hoshea is later called Joshua by Moses in later on in the chapter in verse 16. Now, why do you think Moses changed the name of Hosea to Joshua, by the way, or Jehoshua? Why do you think he did that? If you look at the Hebrew meanings of both Hosea and Jehoshea or Joshua, you'll find that Hosea means delivered or saved. It's a good name. But Joshua means Jehovah delivered. Jehovah saved. That's a better name. Because Moses is acknowledging that the one who does the saving is Jehovah. Because of the blessings of Jehovah, through what Joshua was going to do, they would be delivered ultimately to the land of Canaan. And so Moses changes the name of Hosea. Verses 17 through 20, this is why I said that I believe God is testing the faith of these leaders here. I want you to notice beginning in verse 17, "And Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan, and said unto them, Get you up this way southward, and go up into the mountain." Why you go into the mountain? So that you can see, you can overlook this land that I'm going to give you. "And see the land, what it is, and the people that dwelleth therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many. And what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad. And what cities they be that they dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds. And what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not. And be ye of good courage. And bring of the fruit of the land." Now the time was the time of the first ripe grapes. Why is God getting them to do this? God knows that these Canaanites were strong. God knows that these Canaanites were powerful. And they were banded together in various groups. The Canaanites, the Jebusites, the Perizzites, the Hittites, and various groups. God knew that these people had strong cities. So why is God telling these rulers of the families to go and view all of this? I believe He's testing them. Do you trust me? Do you know that even though you're going to see these strong people with their strong fenced cities? By the way, some of them are giants in the land. When you see these groups of people that are strong and capable of militarily defeating us, except for the fact that we've got God on our side, are you still going to trust me? God wants to know this. And of course, sadly, 10 of the 12 spies did not trust God. God had gotten them this far. Why would they not believe that God would continue to deliver them? That God would deliver the Canaanites into their hand? Why would they not believe it? After everything that God had done, they still did not have faith and ultimately paid the price. I want us to think about how God has done so much for us as a congregation. He's done so much for all of us as individual members of this congregation. Have we developed our faith in such a way that we're not going to allow fear to keep us from being faithful to God, faithful to His desire for us to take the gospel into the whole world, which for us starts right here in this community? God's done so much for us. Are we faithful to do what He's asked us to do? Romans 15, verse 4, "The things which were written aforetime were written for our learning." And so though we're not going into a physical land of Canaan, we're not going and fighting these physical giants that the Israelites were fighting, we still have to understand that when we read Numbers chapter 13, we can make the application that God is on our side. And so we better trust Him in doing the things that God has asked us to do. Was this land good? This land that God had promised them, He says, "I'm going to give it to you. I've been promising you this land since the time of Abraham." Was this land good and plenteous? verses 21 through 25. So they went up and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin unto Rehob, as men come to Hamath. And they ascended by the south and came unto Hebron, where Ahiman, Shishai, and Talmai, the children of Anak, were. Now Hebron was built 7 years before Zoan in Egypt. And they came unto the brook of Eshcol, and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes, and they bare it between two upon a staff. This cluster of grapes was so heavy that they had to have two men carrying it on a pole. And they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs. The place was called the brook Eshcol because of the cluster of grapes which the children of Israel cut down from thence. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. 40 days. Over a month, these spies spend in the land of Canaan, searching it out, seeing the beauty of the land, seeing the fruit of the land that was already prepared. They didn't have to do the planting. The fruit was already there. God's giving it right into their hand if they will just trust God to seize the day, to reap the fruit of this land that He's going to give right into their hand, but they don't trust God. Therefore, again, they pay the price and they don't go in to the land. Verses 26 and 27 say, "And they went and came to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran, to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land." Look at all of this. It's amazing. Look at how luscious this cluster of grapes is. Look at how big and amazing these grapes are, and these pomegranates and these figs. But there's always a but. There's always something getting in the way that's tempting us to say, "You know what? God promised me this, but you know what? I just can't do it." And they told him and said, "We came into the land whither thou sendest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless," there's the but, "nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land. And the cities are walled and great, very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there." The children of Anak. You see how tall they are? They're giants. We're little old Israelites. "The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan." And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once. Let's possess this. We're well able to overcome it." But did the people listen to Caleb? They didn't. In spite of everything that the Lord had done for them, in spite of all the prior military victories, in spite of the miracles that God had performed and the provisions that God had given this people, they still did not trust the Lord. And the overall consensus of the majority of the spies was that, "Oh, this land's wonderful. This land is amazing. We love this land, but you know what? We're not strong enough to overcome it." They did not trust God, and they were defeated in their own minds before they ever got started. Caleb tries to talk some sense into them. Caleb, in his zeal, says, "Let's go right now. What are we waiting for? We're missing out on God's blessings by just sitting here discussing this. God's already told us He's going to give it to us. We're well able to overcome it." Why? Because of their might?
Mm-mm.
Because God was on their side. Thanks be to God for Joshua and for Caleb, who give us this wonderful example of trusting in God in spite of the circumstances, in spite of how large this task loomed ahead of them. Joshua and Caleb had such great faith that they said, you know what? We're well able to overcome this. So let's get to work. But they were outvoted. They were outvoted. Verse 31 and following, but the men that went up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the son of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. A people who had been delivered from the hands of mighty Egypt, the most powerful nation in the world at the time. They had been delivered. And yet now they consider themselves grasshoppers in the sight of Canaan. What had they learned? What had they learned from all those things that God did for them? What had they learned from these miracles and the great escape that had taken place from the hands of Pharaoh? By and large, most of them had not learned anything. Joshua and Caleb had learned something. Moses certainly knew something. But the other 10 and the majority of Israelites of whom they influenced, read on in chapter 14, determined that God had not done enough to convince them that they could take this land of Canaan. Let's ask ourselves this morning, how does this apply to us today? Imagine for a moment that we are on this great precipice of faith. On two sides of this precipice, you have one, a great hill, a mountain, representative of continued increasing faith that we must keep climbing as we're headed towards heaven. And then you've got, on the other side, this great cliff. A dangerous cliff. One that is easy to fall into. One that if you're not careful and you lose your foothold, you're going down. And then we're given the choice. I'm going to keep looking down at that cliff. I'm going to keep looking down at what might happen if I lose my foothold. Or I'm going to get off of this precipice and I'm going to start moving up the mountain that God has placed before me. You see, this mountain of faith that I'm describing for all of us in this metaphor is a mountain that all of us must face. All of us have to decide whether or not we're going to keep climbing, whether or not we're going to keep learning, whether or not we're going to keep spiritually improving. Those of us who are babes in Christ must desire the sincere milk of God's Word so that we can grow thereby. And those of us who are stronger in the faith must continue to desire God's Word, to continue to let it mold our lives in the shape of Christ. We must continue upward. And we must be doers of the Word and not hearers only. Are we going to get over the hump, so to speak, in 2019? Caleb is telling us right here, Numbers 13, verse 30, we are well able to overcome it. Those things that Satan is trying to put in our way, to hold us back, to make us fearful, to make us doubt whether or not God is going to bless us, we're able to overcome those things. The question is, will we? Do we have faith that if we are doing all that we can to, number one, be faithful to God ourselves, and number two, try to influence others to be faithful, do we believe that God is going to bless those efforts? I believe He will. And I hope that you do as well. Let's do all that we can to see that this congregation continues to be a beacon of light for this community. That means that we're going to work together. We're going to be unified in love and in the spirit of truth. And we're going to see to it that all of us as individual members are going to be working hard for the work of this congregation. Why? Because this community desperately needs it. This community desperately needs the truth. Unadulterated, not changed, which is what most have done with the truth. They've changed it. They've adapted it for their own needs. No, this community needs the unadulterated truth of God's Word. The church in this community desperately needs it. There's a lot of error that needs to be dealt with. And so let's make sure that this congregation then is doing those things. Let's make sure that this congregation is not only alive 10, 15, 20 years from now, but this congregation is alive and well for many years to come, because this community needs this congregation to be alive and well for many years to come. It's not going to happen overnight. It's not going to happen magically. The only way that it will happen is if all of us take it upon ourselves to preach the truth, to teach the truth in ways that we can, to be that beacon, that example for those around us that God has asked us to be, and to do the work of evangelizing this community. When you look at the future of this congregation, not just the Lord's church as a whole, but this congregation, what do you see? I hope that you see a future that is bright, a future that is full of souls who love the Lord, love the truth, and are desiring to please Him and also love each other. And that's what I see. And I hope that you see the same. We are well able to overcome it. Whatever the struggle, whatever the trial, whatever 2019 and beyond has in store for us, we are well able to overcome it. And so let's face the future with the hope that we have in Christ. And let's continue to move forward. Let's continue to grow. It may be the case that you want this mindset for yourself this morning, but you can't have it because you're not a child of God. Or at least you're not a faithful child of God. Because if we find ourselves in one of those two boats this morning, then we're not going to be doing our part to help this congregation grow. Think about your life this morning, and if you're not a child of God, won't you change that? Won't you determine right now, the first sermon of the new year, won't you determine that 2019 is going to be a year that's different for you? A year that you are going to put God first in your life? A year that you've decided to completely dedicate your life to Him? If you're not a child of God, the way you do that is you obey the gospel. You believe, but you have to follow through with your belief by repenting of your sins and confessing Christ and being baptized, immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins. Your sins will be washed away, Acts 22:16. You'll be a child of God, and then determined to live faithfully going forward, not only in 2019, but throughout the rest of your life. Live faithful unto God, you'll receive the crown of life. Revelation 2 and verse 10. Think about that this morning and think about your life. And if you need to respond, please do so as together we stand and sing. You've been listening to a sermon from the Beacon Church of Christ. Perhaps you'd like to hear more of these sermons in person. We would love to have you visit our congregation. We are located at 2326 Jonesboro Road in West Monroe. Join us on Sundays at 9:45, 10:30, and 2, and Wednesday nights at 7. A warm welcome awaits you. Come see us soon.